Is this like computer dating?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The tech industry's been in consolidation mode. Another big one may be on the way. IBM could be teaming up with Sun Microsystems. The Wall Street Journal reports that the two companies are talking about a merger. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Sun Microsystems and IBM share a common thread that a merger could exploit. They both offer computer software products that don't rely on Microsoft Windows. They also back global, royalty-free software formats that don't depend on Microsoft. The Wall Street Journal reports that IBM would pay more than $6.5 billion in cash for Sun Microsystems, a 100% premium over its stock price. But the talks are only preliminary. The recession's been hard on tech services firms like Sun. Last November, it laid off 6,000 IT employees. The company's been shopping around for an interested suitor, but hasn't been able to find one. If the deal goes through, it could hurt IBM's cash flow, but would help Big Blue compete with rivals Cisco Systems and Hewlett-Packard. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Another buying spree on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow gained 2.5% to close at 73.95. NASDAQ shares added 4%. The S&P 500 gained more than 3%. European stocks today are higher for the most part. Hong Kong shares rose nearly 2% and more modest gains in Japan. The Bank of Japan says it's keeping interest rates steady for now. Policymakers voted to buy more government bonds to ease financing conditions there. The U.S. Federal Reserve Board will announce today what it plans to do, or not, with already bare-bones rates here at home. In Phoenix today, community bankers are kicking off their annual convention. Sponsors are promising new ideas to help small banks deal not only with tough economic times, but costly new regulations. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
For the most part, the nation's smaller banks steered clear the complicated and risky kind of loan making that proved to be the downfall of their giant rivals, but they're still feeling the sting.
I didn't do it. It's not my problem, and yet I'm paying for it.
Affinity Bank CEO Michael McGuire says that's how many of his fellow community bankers feel these days. He runs a small banking chain in Ventura, California, north of L.A., and he's concerned over the higher levels of cash the government is pressuring all banks to raise now. He says that's hurting their ability to lend. At the same time, community banks could play a key role in restoring confidence at the local level.
If the consumer sees healthy businesses on Main Street, I think the consumer is more likely to get out and spend and be a part of the recovering economy.
Times are even tougher for smaller community banks with maybe one or two branches. Bart Narter with the research firm Celent says they can't afford the growing expense of tighter government regulations and providing costly high-tech services such as online banking.
The increased complexity is raising the bar as to the minimum viable size of a bank.
Seems these days some banks are too big to fail and some too small to survive. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Hoping this time's the charm, former Washington Governor Gary Locke goes to Capitol Hill today. There's a Senate confirmation hearing for his nomination as Commerce Secretary. Locke is Obama's third nominee for that post.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
First, it was the New York Attorney General. Now, it's a congressional committee looking into year-end bonuses at Merrill Lynch. The Wall Street Journal reports New York Representative Adolphus Towns sent letters with a request to Bank of America. The bank completed its purchase of Merrill January 1st. B of A maintains it didn't know about those bonuses before it got control of the company. And then there's the AIG bailout bonuses. The outrage just keeps pouring in. There's a hearing today on Capitol Hill where the company chairman, Edward Liddy, will testify about what's going on there. While Liddy inherited the bonus plan and himself called it distasteful, he's likely to face the scorn of lawmakers. This morning, we hear from commentator Robert Reich, who says there are other, more troubling aspects to this story.
The real scandal of AIG, recipient of $170 billion taxpayer dollars so far, isn't just that the firm plans to give giant bonuses to its executives. It's that even though the public now owns 80% of AIG, Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, didn't even know of this bonus plan until last week and seems helpless to stop it, despite the fact that the plan runs directly counter to administration promises the taxpayer money will no longer be used for Wall Street bonuses. We've also learned that much of the $170 billion has been used by AIG to pay off counterparties, such as Goldman Sachs, that up until now has claimed it did not receive any bailout money. In fact, the original plan to bail out AIG was concocted at a meeting last fall run by former Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, who had been a former CEO of Goldman Sachs, along with the current CEO of Goldman Sachs, and the then head of the New York Fed, our current Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Now, none of this would be nearly as awful if the Wall Street bailout were working. But here we are, 6 months after it began, and it's still the case that almost no loans are being made to Main Street. This week, the Fed is launching its own program to get loans to consumers, financed by private investors and bypassing Wall Street. The Wall Street bailout is starting to look like the most expensive tax-supported fiasco in history, and yet it's close to the center of the president's economic recovery program. The public was willing to go along with a large stimulus package, but it won't go along with a second stimulus, and certainly not another bank bailout. And until the public feels confident that taxpayer money is not being thrown down a rat hole, it may balk at other ambitious undertakings, such as health care or education or the environment. So before it can clean up Wall Street or do much of anything else, the administration has to clean up the way it's trying to clean up Wall Street.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California at Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us and check out the day's economic news at our website, marketplace.org, the latest fallout news there. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.